Good morning.
We are continuing to look at the strengthening and building of our fellowship.
And I'm not erasing that part on purpose.
But we looked last week at just the strong presentation in Scripture.
1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 3 and 4, just in so many ways that we're reminded that we are equipped, each one. And we're going to look at some specifics, and some of this grows out of some specific questions that were asked of me last week and during the week. And that's this recognition that I might believe that I'm equipped by God, I might totally believe that concept, and as a couple of you asked, how do I do that? How do I do that? So we're going to look at, over the next few weeks, we're going to look at some of the how, but we're going to look very specifically this week, if you'll turn to John chapter 14. We're going to try to look at one slice of the how. And let's start in verse 15. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. So keep those thoughts in mind while you turn over a couple of chapters to chapter 16, starting at verse 12. And Jesus is continuing in this, still in this long discussion with his disciples. And he says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for you will take of mine and will disclose it to you. And all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. So here in these two passages, Jesus is predicting a process to come. And he's talking to his disciples and he's saying, I'm promising you something. I'm going to send you my Holy Spirit. And my Holy Spirit, along with a variety of other things that he's going to do, here's one of the things he's going to do. He's going to reveal me to you. And the word he uses in this translation is disclose. And the Greek word behind that really conveys a sense of uncovering hidden mysteries. That there exist truths and there exist realities to who Jesus Christ is, to the life of Christ and the power of Christ, to the purposes of Christ, that cannot be known unless the Holy Spirit opens them up. And Jesus is saying, he won't even do that on his own initiative. He's going to hear what I speak. He's going to hear what the Father speaks. And he's going to speak that to you and disclose and open that up to you. Now go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And Paul is now, in a sense, following in that train of thinking and following in that equipping and that revealing. Paul is now expressing something about his ministry to the believers at Corinth, starting in verse 6 of chapter 2, 1 Corinthians. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And drop down to verse 10. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of that man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. A natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now here's Paul. Now it's also worth recognizing the vast majority of the New Testament has not been written. But Paul is claiming the fulfillment of what Jesus talked about. He's saying the Spirit of God that Jesus said was going to come and disclose truth and bring truth and open up truth to the disciples of Jesus Christ. That's happening right now. He's saying, I'm speaking that wisdom and I'm sharing that wisdom. The Holy Spirit is doing that work right now. And it's a spiritual wisdom that the world couldn't even begin to understand. If they understood it, they would have accepted Christ. Their hearts would have been ready for him. So we're doing something and we're speaking something and we're sharing something that can only be understood to the person who's in union with that Holy Spirit. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And now Paul's further along in his ministry, and he says this. He says, be diligent, speaking to Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. So Paul has, in fulfillment of Jesus' promise, Paul is saying that's happening right now. The Spirit is revealing truth. We're speaking that truth. We're teaching that truth. In fact, he didn't say it, but he could have said, and I'm writing that truth right now. And that Paul and Peter and James and John and Jude and 2 Peter, no. And that these men were speaking something. In fact, go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Right after James. Well, actually, right after 1 Peter. And let's go to verse 19. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So we have this continuing series, and part of me would like to spend probably about an hour just sort of following the train of Scripture. But we have this recognition that Jesus said, everything I just taught you in the last 3.5 years, guess what? That's not everything I've got to say. I have a lot more to open up for you. And part of it was Jesus' own recognition. He said so. You're not ready to hear all of it yet. But you will be. You'll get ready. And when you're ready, the Holy Spirit will be speaking and revealing. And my prophets will be hearing and writing. And both Paul and Peter are saying, that's happening right now. We're receiving that wisdom. We're receiving that prophetic word that is more certain. But I like the way he says it when he's talking to Timothy. He says, you're going to be a workman, equipped, because you are learning how to handle the word of truth. And many of you have memorized 2 Timothy 3:16-17, where God also says that that word is profitable and it's powerful for teaching, for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, very familiar passage, but he's saying this God-breathed word is profitable for you. So, regardless of your gift, regardless of how sure you are of your gifts or how completely unsure you are about what your spiritual gifts are, this is where you start in being profitably equipped to be an effective workman in this kingdom and in this body, and to have profitable truth to share with others in this body. So this won't come out of the richness of your personality. Some of you have wonderfully rich personalities, and they bring nothing supernatural to the process. They're wonderful. They're part of God's design for you, and they aren't the source of truth. Some of you have great education, master's degrees, maybe some PhDs in the room. Great preparation for some active and effective work, even in the kingdom of God. But those PhDs and those master's degrees and those bachelor's degrees aren't the source of what you have to offer each other. That this is where we are profitably equipped to be an effective workman in each other's lives. So one of the things that is true, in fact, like when you shared this morning, when you were getting ready to read that passage, and you said it came into the middle of your week, and it lifted up. It did something. And several of the young people shared that same thing upstairs earlier this morning. That the word of God sprinkled in their week reminded them of things. And it strengthened joy. And it reminded them of things to say and things to do different. It reminded them what was possible in their lives. But part of what we're looking at now is, how am I going to have an impact in your life? And how are you going to have an impact in my life and each one in each other's lives? So when we looked last week at the each one, we saw that we do not have space in this kingdom to have an attitude of inadequacy, that I'm sorry, I don't have anything to contribute, you don't really need me. Nor do we have space in arrogance or self-sufficiency to say, I don't really need you. Some of you are going to be in the Word of God this week, and I'm going to need what you saw. And somebody else is going to need what you were amazed by and what you were encouraged by. The Word of God, in a sense, is never just for the one in there listening and praying and reading. The Word of God is always meant to be shared. And I know from talking to quite a few of you that process of being in the Word can be challenging. Now, I wanted to lay some of this out. Again, very, very basic truth. But our recognition that the Word of God is where we start. When I'm asking, how can I contribute to the body of Christ? That's my beginning place. When you're asking, how can you contribute to the body of Christ? Why will it matter that you showed up? Why will it matter that you're in a conversation? Why will it matter that you're meeting with somebody to pray with them and encourage them, to study with them, to challenge them, to hold them accountable and be accountable? Why will it matter? This is where we start. Oh, wait a minute. Make sure I didn't give you other handouts, but bring me my other stuff back. Okay, as long as all looks the same. Yeah, because I'm going to need that later for other things.
No! Oh.
All of that. Okay. Thank you.
Is that everything?
Yeah, I think that's everything. What I'm handing out,
and some of you received a version of this in the past, and I don't care, get another one. But what this is about is giving some direction, some guidance for a father-son conversation through Scripture. One of the things that I think cripples or at least puts boundary on a lot of our time in the Word is how easy it is to approach our time in the Word like an academic task, like a purely intellectual task. And that one of the things that Jesus was speaking about, Jesus was describing something that was very personal. He was saying the Holy Spirit is going to hear some things that the Father and I are speaking. And then the Holy Spirit is going to come and He's going to disclose that to you. This is personal. This is a conversation between the living God and you. This is never meant to just be intellectual. Now, some of you have a very rich and deep process of conversation with God in Scripture. So this may add nothing to what you're already doing. But I think for many of us, it is a struggle to keep it personal. So part of what I would like to just spend a moment going through this once everybody's got a copy. Did you get a copy for yourself?
I don't think so.
Okay.
And starting at number one, part of what I'm encouraging us to take into account, again, is that we're agreeing with God, that we're coming into His presence, into His Word, for a genuine father-son or father-daughter conversation. Now, one of the things that I hear plenty of Christians say, I have said it myself, and I'm sorry that I've said it, but, you know, that sometimes I felt like God spoke, and other times I say, well, you know, God didn't really, I was reading the Bible, but didn't have a sense that God was really speaking. I really believe that is false. That in fact, is a horrible way to think. That if you are a son or daughter of God, if the Spirit dwells within you, that as soon as you pick up this word and open it, your Heavenly Father is present to speak. So the feeling isn't the point. The listening is the point. I don't need a feeling to listen. I need a choice to listen. So one of the things I would encourage us as believers, and I'm real serious about this, is throw away the idea that you wait for a feeling to see if God's speaking.
Amen.
The Word is open. He wrote the Word. The Spirit wrote the Word. Men of God, moved by the Holy Spirit and inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote that Word. You possess the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit will never leave you. You are equipped to hear. Now, a lot of times my listening is impaired. So if I'm willfully pursuing sin and I'm not willing to address that, my hearing is impaired. Because basically what I'm saying is, God, I've got a whole area that I know about that I don't actually want to hear from you about.
Good.
And very often I expect that God's heart would be to say, that was the thing we were going to talk about. Literally, that was the thing we were going to talk about. So, son, daughter, I am truly here for the conversation, and I want you to decide that you're willing to hear whatever I have to say. Please choose to listen. So part of our preparation of coming into this Word and recognizing it's a conversation is, Father, you're free to bring up anything. That's scary. Okay? I'll admit that. That's scary. Father, you're free to bring up anything.
Oh, really?
But that, yep, not that. Because it is a virtual certainty that what God, in fact, we'll get to this a little later in this handout, what God wants to talk about is my growth. God does not just want to talk about my intellectual understanding of biblical truth. God does not just want me to know more about the history of Israel. God does not want me to just understand some more apologetics so I can win that next debate. God does not just want me gathering facts. God always desires that when His son, Reg Larkin, shows up in front of Him for conversation, that the end of the conversation will result in a change in the life of Reg Larkin. And that gets to be the attitude that you and I are most passionately try to keep pursuing, is I'm going into the Word to be changed. I'm not just going into the Word to know more, although I will know more. The more I study the Word of God, I will know more. But that I'm agreeing that I'm ready to talk about anything, Father. And I'm scared, but I'm here to listen. Now, the handout goes on. I keep setting it down. And gives you some passages there, some of which we already looked at. And again, I would encourage you, look through those passages on your own time. Build your own strength of confidence that this is worth doing, to go have this father-son, father-daughter conversation. But now, again, if you already have a very rich and effective way that you're pursuing time in the Word of God, and it's very personal and it's effective, you don't have to modify it just because I'm suggesting these things. But this seems to be very fruitful. First of all, it's been very helpful and fruitful for me. And it seems to have been very fruitful and helpful for other people to just have a little bit of an outline of here's what I'm going to do. And part of it, I just suggest reading this section, a chapter, or even the whole book, just to have an overview of the ideas God is expressing. And I want to keep it that in that context. God is going to be expressing a range of ideas. So there may be times when I'm doing a study, so I could say, well, I'm going to do a study on marriage, and I could get out my concordance, and I could just gather all the passages of Scripture that are about marriage, or that I think are about marriage, because there's always going to be more than I thought. And so I gather those, and that could be a genuinely fruitful study. So whether it's about a topic and I'm gathering a range of Scriptures, or whether I'm following a chapter, or I'm following a book, that I try to let God just sort of lay out His ideas first. And I just get an overview of where God's going with things. So I know some of you have been in the military. Back when I was in the Marine Corps, early ages, that they said, do three things. And I don't always do this, but they said it anyway. First, tell them what you're going to say, then say it, and then tell them what you said. Like I said, I don't always do that. But I'm allowing God to say, Father, first show me where you're headed. I want to have my head in here. I want my heart in here, that I'm willing to hear where you're taking me on this. But then I go back, and like any true conversation, now we talk about it idea by idea. And this is, in a sense, this is the work of the conversation. This is where you go back and you capture an idea. You pay attention to what the Holy Spirit has said through that word, and you actually try to write it down. Now, you do not have to write things down to have a conversation with God. But you have to write things down if you're going to keep building profitably on the conversations you have with God. Capture the high points of what God spoke. And then respond to that. And again, this is the hard work, because the response has to be honest. If you have questions about the Word of God, you get to write those questions down. You get to do research. You get to ask questions. You get to go to somebody else who you're confident knows more about the Word of God. You get to look things up in concordances and dictionaries and BibleGateway.com. You get to do a lot of things to gather an understanding of what was said. But then you respond to it with honesty. Now, here's part of the challenge of honesty. I put in there expressing honest questions, objections, difficulties. Put down the objections. This is an honest father-son, father-daughter conversation. When we see conversations between God and Moses, we see conversations between God and Abraham and between God and Job. Those are amazingly honest conversations. In fact, it amazes me that Moses and Abraham particularly did some of the back and forthing with God that I'm not sure I would feel real comfortable doing. And God never shut them down. He remained the authority, and He remained the Lord, and He remained the one with the final word. But He didn't shut down the process of conversation with them. And we get to recognize that we are in a more intimate place with the God of the universe than even Abraham was, or than Moses was. Because now this God dwells within us. So that your time in the Word, God wants it to be a genuinely, profoundly personal conversation. Hold nothing back. Don't pretend anything away. Because God is absolutely capable of dealing with your objections and questions, and taking you through that process. Now, the second thing I have under your honest response, the second part that begins with the word always, this is where, again, I'm recognizing that if God's goal is to take me to the Word, part of what I'm doing is I'm sharing a vision with Him. That's what I want to gather. I want to gather a shared vision with Him. I want to encourage you to start thinking this way. That when you're in the Word of God, you're not just doing your nightly, you know, reading your chapter or doing your morning psalms or your morning devotion. You're not just preparing for your Wednesday Bible study. Yes, you're doing all of that. And that there's an agreement that you and I have when the Word of God, even if we're just going to read a chapter before we go to sleep at night, that we're saying, Father, I actually want you to use your Word, and I'm available for you to build a vision in me of where you're taking me. Now, if I confuse this with a vow, I'm going to withdraw from that. So this is not a vow. This is a shared vision. You're going to get to decisions and you're going to get to commitments. But I challenge and encourage, urge you, and I don't even believe it's my encouraging and challenging and urging, that the Father urges and encourages and challenges you, come share my vision of where I'm taking you. Don't settle for knowledge. Gain a vision. God says, where men have no vision, where there is no vision, men perish. And that part of your time in the Word and my time in the Word is I'm not just gathering things because I need to teach that Sunday school class, or I need to answer these questions for my Bible study, or Reggie's going to ask me on Sunday if I got anything out of this. No, this is about my transformation, and it begins with a shared vision. So I would encourage you, if you're in the Word one time this week, just once, that you would be agreeing with God, I'm here to see a vision of where you're taking me, and to agree with that vision. That it will be a choice, not a feeling. And I say, just keep it honest and personal. But I also emphasize the last part in B, which again is always, this is about Jesus Christ in me. My gathering of truth, my gathering of vision, this flows from the reality that Jesus Christ is alive in me. But here's what happens. When you're in the Word and you're sharing that vision and you're learning that vision and you're gathering encouragement, you're gathering teaching, and you're gathering wisdom, and you're gathering a larger picture of the reality of life, you are now ably and effectively equipped to come share something with me. And I will be more ably and comfortably equipped to share something with you. So when you're asking how, if you're one of those people who were literally asking, how do I show up and have anything to contribute? Start there. Start in the father-son, father-daughter conversation where you're just agreeing with God. Father, this is why I'm going to have something valuable to share. This is why I'm going to have a word of encouragement. This is why I'm going to have a word of correction. This is why I'm going to have a word of uplift or a word of teaching, a word of insight from my brother or sister in the body of Christ. Not because I'm smarter than them, but because I came to you and I received something supernatural. You and I don't have to be smarter than each other. The smartest person in the room, whoever that is, the smartest person in the room needs to be encouraged by you. Oh, I forgot. You're the smartest person. You need that encouragement from somebody else. I need that encouragement from somebody else. This is not about what you know or what you don't know. This is about the fact that the body is meant to function where a piece of what you need absolutely must come from someone else in the body of Christ, and you can't shut that down. And you can't skip it. You can't avoid it. Some of what you need and some of what I need will come through somebody else's time in the Word, through somebody else's encouragement now passed on to us, through somebody else's vision now shared with us to give us a larger vision. So this is part, wow. This is, I'm sorry, I just said wow because I noticed it was after 12. And I have truly no concept how that happened.
There goes the streak.
There goes the streak. We had 2 weeks. Does 2 weeks constitute a streak? 2 weeks where we ended by noon. Well, this was actually one third of what I was going to do today. Literally one third. But what I really want to encourage you to do is don't just take this home and use it to light your fireplace. Because I know all of you are going to be barbecuing and rotisserieing there in the fireplace or whatever. Use this as a reminder and a guide. Even if you have another way, use it as a reminder and a guide. Even if you modify this, just a reminder and a guide that you're going to keep handy, that I am having my time in the Word this week is going to be real conversation. My time in the Word this week is going to be where I gather truth, and that part of what I'm asking for, in fact, I'm sort of borrowing now into next week's sermon, but when you're in the Word, ask God for truth to share. So that you know you're gathering for your own nourishment, you're gathering for your own vision. But literally, ask God for truth to share with somebody else that week. So that you're expectant, so that you're looking for the opportunity. You're expecting God to share something with you, and then you're expecting to see a moment when you can share something with somebody else. Be expectant, and that starts with asking. Let's pray. Father, we do have a more certain word, and the world doesn't have this word. And unfortunately, Father, there's even plenty of places right here in our own nation that claim to be the church that also don't have this word. You've given us your word, and you've given us a word that is made powerful and effective by the work of your Spirit and the presence of your Spirit. And now effective in us together because of the equipping of your Spirit and the gifting of your Spirit. Father, I pray that your Spirit would be exciting each one of us with a recognition that you have great treasure for us to share. And all of us are qualified to go to the treasure house. Every single one of us here is qualified to go gather treasure to share. And that no matter how young in the faith or how old in the faith, no matter how much Bible we know or how close to the beginning of our understanding of Scripture we are, that our time in the Word is profitable for us and then profitable to be shared. Father, pray that in my life this week, in my time in the Word, in my prayer life, that your Spirit will be strengthening in me a personal expectation that you're gathering treasure for me and you're gathering treasure for me to share. And I pray that for every single one of us in this room who's already a believer. That our time in the Word would be an expectant time of gathering treasure to share. That we'd start in the right place. We'd start where you've piled riches. And Father, I pray that where there's questions, where there's doubts, where there's struggles, where things are just confusing, that your Spirit would also give us a sense of patience that you're going to teach us. And some things will take years to learn. Some things will be figured out in the very next verse. But some things will be decades in the building. And that's okay. That you will still have truth for today and you will still have treasure that we get to share today. We will have enough to share even while we keep growing with other things. You are the living God. Father, you're the living God. As we've already celebrated your Son's death and resurrection, your Word also reminded us that when we celebrate that communion, that Lord's Supper, that we rightly discern the body, that we remember that we belong to the body of Christ. The body of Christ belongs to me. And that we not foolishly shut ourselves off from participating in the life of this body. Help us to keep growing in this, Father, not out of guilt, not out of a sense of burden. Help us to keep growing in this body life, in this commitment to one another, in this challenge and encouragement to one another, out of a joyful passion for the things that you've shared with us and the treasure that you have waiting. Once again, Father, we choose you and we choose your word in Jesus' name. Amen.